One more little community life slot. The children's book group is meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon on Zoom. So if you don't have the codes and you need them for your children, then just catch Isaac at the end. But the reading this morning is from John chapter 1. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we're continuing our series this morning, looking at the Apostles' Creed, and we're doing so from John's Gospel. And we are looking at the Apostles' Creed because we want to understand our Christian faith better. And we're looking at key words and key ideas from the Creed to help us do that. And the statement from the Creed we're looking at this morning is this: who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. So we're talking this morning about Christmas. Now, just, I know you're probably thinking that we are just getting on board with the general Christmas creep that's going on in the in shops. Christmas comes earlier every year. Well, we're having Christmas now at the beginning of November here at St. Clement's. The meaning of Christmas is what we're thinking about. And I want us to really focus on one verse which is key for Christmas, which is John chapter 1 and verse 14, the end of our reading. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So there's three things I want us to think about. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen its glory. So first of all, the Word. John speaks about the Word all the way through this section of his gospel, this introduction, this prologue. And the Word who he's talking about is Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. We're talking about the Trinity in part this morning. Jesus Christ is God's Word. Now, he calls Jesus Christ the Word because the Word is God's self-expression, God's disclosure, God's revelation of himself. You see, the way we reveal ourselves as people is through words. If you want to know somebody or know about somebody, then the way you know about them, the way they know about you, it's not through photographs. It's not by looking at each other. It's through words. One of the things I've discovered when we have people over for lunch on Sundays is the need to ask a key question before they arrive. Are you a vegetarian? And And I've discovered to my cost the danger with not asking that key question. There have been times when we've been umming and ahhing just before people have turned up. Is this person a vegetarian? I think they are, but we've not made anything vegetarian. No, I'm sure they're not vegetarian. They don't look like a vegetarian to me. How do you know? Well, you know by asking them. They reveal themselves to you in words. This morning you're sitting next to people on pews. You might be sitting next to your husband or wife or somebody you've come with, and you might know them really well. But if you don't know the person really well, how are you going to get to know them? By them talking to you. They will reveal themselves, what they're like, what their name is, and you'll do the same. You see, the way we reveal ourselves is through words, and the same is true with God. God has revealed himself through his word. And his word is Jesus Christ. See, God has revealed himself to us in and through Jesus Christ. What does that mean for us? Well, it means this. It means you can really and truly know God. You can know God. You can have a relationship with God. You can know who God is. You can know what God is like. And you can know that through Jesus Christ. In fact, you can know that only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Jesus Christ that God has revealed himself. But you can know God through him. You see, the way we know God is not through reason and through arguments. I was talking to a friend this week, and he wanted to know what the arguments were for the resurrection. And so I gave him a few arguments for the resurrection. But I said to him, you're not going to believe in the resurrection unless God opens your eyes to Jesus Christ. You see, the ultimate proof of the resurrection is not lots of evidence about an empty tomb and appearances of Jesus. The ultimate evidence of the resurrection is Jesus Christ himself. He's the ultimate proof of the Christian faith. See, the way a person becomes a Christian is not ultimately through arguments or through reason. The ultimate way a person becomes a Christian is through Jesus Christ. See, you don't know God through arguments and reason. You know God through a person. And the same is true about experiences and feelings. You don't ultimately know God through experiences and feelings. Having goosebumps on a Sunday morning. You know God through a person. Our experience of God is through a person, Jesus Christ. And so my question this morning for you is this. Do you want to know God? Not just know about God, not just know that God exists, but do you want to know God personally? Well, you can know God personally through Jesus Christ, by looking at Jesus Christ, by looking at his person, looking at his teaching, looking at the fact that he embodied his teaching and lived what he preached. It's hard to actually live what you preach. It's hard to actually do what you say, but Jesus Christ did that. Did it perfectly. But not only that, look at his work. Look at him dying on a cross. Look at him rising again. And look at the fact that he was willing to do that for a broken and a messed up world, for broken and messed up people like you and me. That is his love for us, for the world that he has made. You see, the way that you know God is through Jesus Christ, by looking at who he is, by looking at what he's done. Anyone can know Jesus Christ. Anyone can know God if they look at Jesus Christ. See him and you'll know God. But the word, we're told, became flesh. We're talking here about the incarnation. That's the Christian word. It comes from the Latin, carne. Last Sunday we had chili con carne for lunch. Chili with with flesh, chili with meat. The incarnation is God in flesh, God in meat, God becoming human. Not God adopting a body for a time, God assuming a body, but God becoming man. God coming down to earth as a man, Jesus Christ. See, that is the incarnation. That's what Christians believe. Born of the Virgin Mary. That is, Jesus Christ took his human nature from Mary. He was fully human. And yet he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit so overshadowed Mary that the divine and human natures of Christ came together in one person so that the child who was born was the Son of God. Fully God in every way, and yet fully man. Two natures in one person. Not two natures mixed together. Two distinct natures, not in two people, but in one person. We sing about all this at Christmas, don't we? We're not having Christmas carols this morning, but O Come All Ye Faithful, one of the most popular Christmas carols, really hits this on the head in the second verse. God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. See, Jesus Christ is fully and truly God. When he walked on earth, when he lived, when he died, he was upholding the universe which he had created. He knew everything because he's God. He had all power because he's God. He was everywhere by his Spirit because he's God, fully God. And yet he was also fully man. Born as a baby. Vulnerable. Weak. Needy. Helpless. Lived a life of poverty. And then went to the cross and died. Not only was Jesus Christ vulnerable, but he was killable. And he was killed. God killed on a cross. What's that mean for you and me? Well, it means this. It means God knows how you feel. God knows what you're going through because he's been there himself. A year ago, I listened to a friend's testimony that she gave. Our friend had sadly lost a son while he was a toddler. He'd drowned in the family pond. Tragic circumstances. And this was 10 years later, and she was giving her testimony. And she said something quite, really, it was really interesting, her reflections 10 years on. She said after it happened, lots of her friends just got around her, supported her, were kind to her, tried to help in whatever way they could. Some people didn't know what to say and just avoided her or avoided the conversation or the topic. And she said, that's fine because it's hard to know what to say. But she said, there was one person who was more helpful than anybody else. She was put in touch with a woman who she didn't know, never come across, but who herself had lost a child years before. And she said, I got to know this woman over the coming weeks and months. She wasn't a friend, but she was somebody who understood because she'd been there. And so I could pour out my heart to her because she knew what I was going through. She knew how I felt. She'd experienced what I experienced. She had been in my shoes. And the same is true for Jesus Christ. He knows how you feel because he has been in your shoes. Are you somebody who's struggling with money? Jesus lived a life of poverty, had nowhere to lay his head. Are you somebody who's been betrayed by a friend? Well, Jesus Christ was betrayed by one of his closest friends, in fact, betrayed to death. Have you been let down by your friends? Well, Jesus Christ was let down by all his friends. They all abandoned him when he was brought to trial. Are you somebody who's anxious, who's fearful, who's worried? Are you somebody who has doubts and questions? Well, Jesus Christ understands. He knows what it is to be human. He was tempted in every way like we are, and yet he did not sin. So you can go to him with your cares. You can go to him with your concerns, with your questions, with your doubts, with your worries, with your fears, with your anxiety. You can go to Jesus Christ. He understands. He can help. And if you say, well, I've done that and been there and tried and prayed and God hasn't helped me. Well, Jesus Christ gets that as well, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to God that God would deliver him and allow him not to go through with the cross. And God didn't answer his prayer. He knows what it is to have an unanswered prayer. He's been there. In fact, his prayer wasn't answered so that yours ultimately will be, even if you've not got an answer here and now. You can trust God to come through because he knows, he understands, and he cares. And so finally, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The word dwell in verse 14 is actually the word tabernacled. And I bring that word up because John wants our minds to go back to the Old Testament. Before the temple was built in Jerusalem, the Israelites met with God at the tabernacle. It was a huge tent which God ordered the Israelites to build. And you would come to the tent, and outside the tent there was this huge barbecue, massive barbecue, which you would, where the priest would offer your sacrifice on. The priest would then go into the tabernacle and pray on your behalf. And once a year, the great high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the section right in the middle of the tabernacle, and offer a sacrifice, not just for you, but for the whole people. And that sacrifice would be offered on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, in the very presence of God. You see, above the Ark, there was the glory of God. It was called the Shekinah glory. That was the very center of where God dwelt on earth. And the reason John brings us back to that point is because he's saying God has come to dwell with you and me now in a more personal way than he did then. See, it was incredible if you think about it, what happened back then, that God, who created the heavens and the earth, would dwell in a tent, in the center of a tent. But it was hard to access. Only priests could go in, only the high priest could go into the very center once a year and actually experience the glory of God itself. The people had to stay outside. And so the tent said two things at the same time. It said, God wants to come close to you, but you can't come close to him. You can't come close to him because of your sin. But God wants to come close to you nonetheless. But God has come close to us now in a more personal way. Because it's not just a case of God coming close to you, but you can now come close to him through Jesus Christ. You see, in the person of Jesus Christ dwells the glory of God. A glory which we can come and access because of what Jesus Christ has done. See, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took upon himself our sins, our mess, our brokenness, and died on the cross for those things. So that barrier which prevents us from coming to God, which prevents us from seeing and accessing God's glory, has been removed. So you and I can come and see and know God himself, and see and know the glory of God himself in Jesus Christ. You can see God's glory. not know about God's glory, but see God's glory, experience God's glory through what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. You see, the way to know God, the way to experience God's glory is not by being religious. That Old Testament system of religion and offering sacrifices and saying certain prayers and doing certain rituals has gone. You don't access Jesus, you don't access God and see his glory by doing things, but by coming to a person. Neither do you access God's glory by trying to be good. I've become more and more convinced that the single biggest reason why people aren't Christians is because they are told that in order to come to God, you need to be good. You've got to have it all together. Or they actually believe that they're good people themselves and they don't need to come to God. And so if you're in that first group, that you've been told by people that you need to be good in order to come to God, let me tell you, you don't need to be good to come to God. You can come to God just as you are. In fact, if you come to God with your good stuff and rely on that, you're not going to see God's glory. It's going to get in the way. And if you're in that second group, if you're someone here this morning who thinks that you're good, I'd encourage you to talk to somebody who you've come with or someone who you live with and ask them to be really honest with you. Because in my experience, none of us are as good as we think we are. And people we live with, if they're happy to be honest with us, will tell us. And that's a good thing. Because we don't see God's glory by being good. We see God's glory through what Jesus Christ has done. What does this mean for us? Well, it means not only can you see God's glory, but you can receive God's comfort. Because if you do come to Jesus Christ, if you do put your trust in him, if you do begin a relationship with him, then you can know what it is to have your sins forgiven. Completely forgiven. All the bad stuff you've done in your life, completely removed. You can know what it is to be unburdened from your guilt. You know how many of us walk around life as if we've got carrying a rucksack of guilt on us. Got this picture of children doing the Duke of Edinburgh's Award. You go for a walk in the Lake District and you suddenly see these young people with these huge rucksacks full of their tent and their food and other gear for 5 days of walking and camping in the rain. And you're like, I'm really glad we're going back to like a log cabin afterwards and going to be able to order pizza. But how many of us walk around like those DOV children with a huge rucksack of guilt on our back? Feeling that we don't measure up, that we're not good enough. But if you've come to God, then through Jesus Christ, then your sins have been removed. He's paid for your sins on the cross. He's taken the guilt for your sins on the cross. And therefore, you've got no guilt to carry around with you. You're now a child of God, adopted into his family. Free from the burden of sin. Free from the burden of guilt. That's why Jesus said those wonderful words in Matthew 11, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You can see God's glory, you can receive God's comfort, but finally, you can know God's power. We have seen his glory, John says, the glory is of the only Son, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. When you see Jesus Christ, when you put your trust in him, you see and experience God's grace and God's truth in your life. And that grace and truth comes to you and changes you. It changes you immediately. You are born again. You become a new creation. But that grace and truth also changes you over time. And so the issues that you face in your life, the issues that you battle with in your character, which can feel like a brick wall, and you can think, I can never change. I can't change in this area of my life. I can't change in that area of my life. Whether it's pride or anger or people pleasing or anxiety, these things which just seem so hard to change in our hearts can be changed by God's grace and truth. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was telling me about a relationship breakdown in his family. There'd been a huge falling out, and the relationship had been completely broken down. And I said a few things to him, but then I turned and I said to him, I said, you've got to forgive her. And he said, yeah, I suppose you have to say that because you're a vicar. But it's impossible. And I said to him, I know it's impossible. Which is why you need to look to Jesus Christ. You need to look to Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And how he on the cross said about his enemies, about those who were killing him, about us who actually put him on the cross because of our sins, said, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. And if you see that he has done that for you and forgiven you for the ways you've wronged God, you can forgive her for the ways that she's wronged you. See, you can change and become like Jesus Christ. You can have power in your life as you come to him, as you see him full of grace and truth. See, this is what we believe as Christians. This is why as Christians we affirm he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that in your kindness, your Son has come down to earth to rescue us, that we might come to you, that we might see your glory, that we might be comforted by your love and the knowledge of our sins forgiven, and that we might receive power in our lives to change and become more like him. Show us more of your glory. Help us to see Jesus more clearly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.